medicines and Shabbos. Also, a common question which comes up with medicines and Shabbos is the other extreme of the general system, is that whereas until now we've been talking about leniencies and flexibilities because of pikuach nefesh, techuyah hutra, and how we exercise pikuach nefesh derech Shabbos. So the Isur of refuah is the other way around. Here Chazal Masakin and Isur. They said it's prohibited to take refuah in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos Nun Gimel Bei says that it's usur to take medications in Shabbos. And Rashi explains because it's a gzeira of Shechikas HaMemonim. One of the seeming stiras in Shulchan Aruch, which guide our understanding of the parsha of the Isur refuah, is that the Shulchan Aruch writes in the beginning of Shin Chav Zayin that if a person has an illness and the medication for the illness is certain kinds of oils and salves, so the halacha is that it's usur to use those oils. Presumably there's no isur av bimareyach, they're liquid enough, but there's an isur refuah in Shabbos, even though those oils cannot be manufactured with Shechikas HaMemonim. And similarly, in the Sivchof, Shulchan Aruch says that one cannot put the wine inside one's eyes as a refuah, even though there's no Shechikas HaMemonim in preparing the wine for one's eyes. And on the other hand, the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rambam that the Rambam says that if the tipul does not require any kind of samimonim, so then Chazal were not misakin that it's osur in Sif Mem Gimel. So how can Shulchan Aruch quote both that Rambam and quote the Isur of using oils and ointments that do not necessarily require shechikas samimonim? So the mahalach of the Mishnah Berurah is to apply the Taz. And the Taz says that the distinction we have to draw is between illnesses that may have some kind of therapy that includes some among them. So if there is an illness, and the only way to deal with this is to use wine. There is no other FDA-approved approach to deal with this. There is no refuah beduka, I guess, that anybody would use. All right, so then Taz says, so then that's what the Rambam means. This, using this application will not lead in any way to Shechikas HaMemonim. On the other hand, if there is a certain kind of illness, and that illness has different ways of dealing with it. Sometimes to get rid of the pain, you have to take a Tylenol, and to take care of the, to take care of the decongestion, you may want to use some kind of suction. All right? So in that particular case, you get rid of decongestion, you could use suction as well as you could use a saline, that'd be some money probably, a solution, and you could use some kind of medicine. You could use a nasal spray, and you could use some kind of expectorant decongestion. Then it would still be usur to use the suction. It would still be usur to use the nasal spray. Why? Because then, even though this particular application, this particular medication, this approach does not require some amanim, but since I'm responding to a situation which could use some amanim, that means still exeris chikas some amanim. If you have, for example, nafin would be a certain kind of muscular issue, and the only therapy is physical therapy, massaging, physical therapy, is some kind of exercise. And there isn't, and it'd be very rare, because almost all of these have ointments that sometimes help lubricate, and they sometimes want us to take medication because there's pain involved. But lu yitzuyer, there was some kind of rehab that a person was doing after having a broken limb, and the rehab is only exercising, it's nothing else. So then we would paskin that is mutter on Shabbos. Because that refuah has nothing to do with, will never lead to Shechikas HaMemonim. Right? So this distinction is what leads, one of the makaris that leads Rav Waldenberg, and he points out it's really a chayyadim, to sharpen our understanding of the Iser of Rafu Mishum Gzeres Schikas Amamonim. That we normally assume that it means, I'm afraid that if I run out of talent on Shabbos, I'm going to start looking around to find how I can make my own talent. Right? It's not a Gemara if I'm going to run out of my herbal compound that takes care of headaches. Right, so I'm going to end up getting another herbal compound. So we're going to end up having Shikas Amamonim. So Rav Waldenberg said, you see from this Taz, this Mishneh Berurah, that is not exactly the Gzeirah of Shikas Amamonim. He says it's really pointed out in the Rashi. The Rashi in Shabbos and Gilmud Beis says that they made a Gzeirah, the Bori Sheyesh L'Meichush. They made the gzeira shemnatir shum refua novoi l'schikas amamonim. He said, not afraid that I'm going to run out of this kind of medication. I'm afraid that if I begin to take medication, then I'm going to think, well, what other medication should I take? What else should I take? I have the medication right now, but then I might start thinking, I might get involved. The lashon of the Ran is that odom bohol bitoich behola. That we know that once we get caught up in dealing with ailments, so even if we're not a hypochondriac, as long as we say I'll make it through, it's not a problem. I'm going to ride this one. I'm going to ride this cold or ride this flu. All right, I'm not going to won't let it get in my way. Keep on going. You see, you put out of mind and you keep on marching. Right, a person has a headache. I'm going to ride it through. But once a person begins to figure out how I'm going to take care of this cold, care of this flu. So then we start looking, checking out the shelves in the pharmacy, looking at the different options and the days, the ones that are good during the day, not during the day, but ones that are, generic, the non-generic. And then we start getting involved, all right? So that's what Rashi and the way the Ran says it, that the Gzeir of Shikas Amamonim is that if a person is, God forbid, a cholet mesukon, no, so of course takes care of everything. Even cold tzarcha, we do more. If a person is a cholet she'ein basakana, so then we're matir, we try to take care of it if we need to, with an amira l'nachri. If you can't amira l'nachri, then one can go to other yisuri the rabbanon. But if a person is a healthy guy, he's a bari, but he's uncomfortable, he's in pain. So then, Chazal say, there's no heter pikach nefesh. There isn't even a heter of Amir Yaakov. Now there's an Iser. Because we're afraid that he's going to end up, because that's the way human nature is. They're going to end up trying to beat it, and that could lead to Schikas Samamon. So if we can't get into the parsha of a... We can't begin to address a choli which has a schika samamonim aspect to it. Right? Who is this bari with a mechush bialma? So the general rule is if he's nafal lemishkav, if he's nafal lemishkav, that means he's already a choli shein basakana, and he can do drabonis. He can certainly take medication, but mokum tzali goes to be rabbanon. But if a person, a bori means he's mishalach gebori, he doesn't really have to lie down. The language of the Aruch HaShulchan is that if he's eino yochol letzeis mi pesach beisai, if he's homebound, that's already a choyla she'ein basakon. Right? But a person who's a mechesh ba'alma mishazik velach gebori, he has a toothache, he has a headache, he has a cough. But holchim and noisim, noisim kol asokim. But he's, if it's a Tuesday, he'd be in the office, right? If it's a Tuesday, and he's a little kid, he'd for sure be in the office, right? But if it'd be a Tuesday, and he'd come home early. If it's a Tuesday, and he'd say, I need another hour to sleep, I'm not getting out yet. I'm calling in sick. So then, that is already a chayla. Then he takes medication. He could even do al yidei nachri. He could even get some money al yidei nachri if he had to. So our chasloka goes further. If nechlash kol gufa, that's already a chayla. If he's not, if he functions bechfedus bechalishus, the Tzitz Eliyahu quotes a moruk tziya that if a person is mitzta'er harbei, that's a hard term to use. The Aruch HaShulchan's approach is if he's not fully functional, right? So then that's the classic is Nafal Mishka v'cholu kuguf. That's a classic. That's when he comes to chayla, bedridden, or he feels a full bodied fluifly. That's a chayla ready. Anything less is a bori b'mechush b'alma. The Aruch HaShulchan says if he's fully functioning, the way that the modern Hebrew term is mitafked, if he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. So then, if he has the koyach to do what he's supposed to be doing, if it be a Tuesday, he would be fully functional. Then he's a bori with bechush v'alma, right? And mitzaer harbei, he's in a lot of pain. Presumably, it means that he's not fully functional. Presumably. So we're talking about a person who is fully functional and would be certainly if it would be during the week. So then, Chazal said that the Nisr of Lekichas Refuah, and we explained that this is an Nisr because we're afraid that he will get involved in the whole Parsha and end up doing something which is Ozik, because Tarchi Darcha, that's the way that we are, that we easily get caught up in certain things, and Vitech Bahola, because of our focus on health, which is appropriate, we sometimes end up doing things that we shouldn't be doing. So that's the Nisr of Shechikas
Amvan. What do you mean about the comparison to the weekday? Meaning he would go to work with the same feeling?
Sometimes a person's a little more makel on Shabbos. Like, let's say a person is Shabbos. He says, Shabbos, no, has a bad cold. So he says, I'm going to daven, so I'll daven b'chidus today. Right? A bad cold. So does that mean he's a choyla? So I would say, it depends if you're doing Tuesday. And he can't use the relaxed Shabbos. At first, it's Shabbos afternoon. So the question, does he go to his chavrusa or does he take it easy? So he decides to take it easy because he's not feeling so well. So does that mean that he's a choyel enough of the mishkav? Not sure. But I know that if it's a Tuesday and he's enough of the mishkav, then that's a choyel. That's the one thing I think you have to treat.
On Tuesday, he wouldn't go to work without taking this medication because he has this type of headache.
No, then
he can easily take this medication and
you
go.
Yeah, then he's a chayla. Then he's a chayla. Then you should take it, yeah. Yeah, and we measure without the medication, sure. Sure, sure. Sure. Yeah.
What's the status of someone who has a chronic disease? Someone has cancer.
Yeah.
So are they chronically chola,
so I would assume they're chronically a chol sheish masakana.
So,
in other words, without treatments, they'll get weaker. They're chol sheish masakana.
So then, so on Shabbos, let's say someone who has cancer, who's managing their disease,
yeah,
and they get a headache.
Yeah.
So the fact that they're chol sheish masakana means they can.
Does that mean that it probably depends. And you're saying now, is it mutu mitam kol gufoy? They get an extra. If it's related to the cancer, then the answer is probably yes. If it's unrelated to the cancer, I don't know if that would be. I don't know. My initial reaction is not so.
Be no worse than
Shartz Arachago. That's what he's saying. Is that so? A person has guy's heart disease, so he's always taking blood thinners, all right, even on Shabbos. Because so if a guy with heart disease gets a headache, we would say he can. I would not think so. If it's related, so maybe then we can put it together. I would say again, go back to the Tuesday case. So if I don't know if that would be called Tzeracha. It sounds strange to me that a person who is fully functioning, everything is fully functioning, so then we're going to say that we now have cold Tzeracha, he's a cool of cold Tzeracha. I don't think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
think it's correct. There is a discussion amongst the poskim as to whether the Iser of Lekichas Refu applies Bizman Hazeh. We normally say Kevin Shabbat, with the assumption, the question is Bolus Ibasa. Do we say that nobody even grinds any Samamon today Bechlal? So there are those who said, not so partial, there are still people nowadays, homeopathy, probably making some of their own medications. There are still groups that have their own medications. But there are chlal, though. We probably don't have hachanas. We don't have people doing it. So the so we would still say, bol nisibos, loy bol l'takanto. Right? And in this particular case, even though we normally say, b'mokam tzali goes to Rabbanon, in this case, like a tanis, we don't say that there's such thing as a tanis because Chazal could make a tanis because everybody will get sick during a tanis. No, we say, sometimes Chazal, normally they say that Mokum Tali goes where, but sometimes there were goys at Tsar. So tanis, there were goys, so here there were goys, there were certain miut and oinig Shabbos. So the question that is raised by some Svarm is that we know that there are several positions of Tosfos that are makel when it comes to a situation of botlo sibosa. Tosfos points out that the machlokes is nowadays whether one has to be nizar in water that's kept open overnight. Do we say that botlo sibosa, botlo takanta? Right? Tosfos says by dancing in Shabbos, botlo sibosa, and therefore botlo takanta. So, how far do we take this rule? The Tosfos sometimes finds the loophole. And therefore the takona is no longer mandated upon us. When it comes to Gilui, so their Tosfos has several positions. One position is, we're not Nizer, because Bolo Sibosa. Another position is, no, that initially Chazal said that one can't have water that's left open over Shabbos because the snakes are mitsuyim and they'll leave, but if you're in a place where there are no snakes, so then you're allowed to have the water. So we now live in a place where there are no snakes. So we're not, it's not bolo sibosa, it's that the takana was originally made plug with making distinctions, and we now, wherever we live, that fits into one of those distinctions in which Chazal were making a lot. So, do we have a basis to say that in certain situations, what are those situations where we say, Bala si basa bala takanta? Stories that somebody once asked the Rav this question. Do we say, Hayos Tosfos says that by dancing on Shabbos and Yom Tov is mutik is bala si basa? So the Rav said, you don't paskin based on one very, very difficult Tosfos. They don't understand this Tosfos. So they have no issue, we don't understand it. But there are other svarim, some kadmonim, and the Rav Shechter has written about this many, many years ago, that the Tosfos is addressing is that there are situations where Chazal explain to us why they're making the din. And when they explain to us why they're making the din, so then that explanation became a clause in the Takana. Usually Chazal did not tell us why they're making the din. Usually Chazal kept it quiet. And a year later, if they saw that Klal Yisrael was keeping the Takana, and it was a Tzivi Yechon La'amayr, then they began to explain it. And even further, the Gemara says, they may not have always given us every reason. They gave us only some reasons. So we may not know their reasons. So the Gemara says, that's why, Bot lo si bos lo bot lo takanta. However, if Chazal, it's a Kadmonim point out, I think the Shittim Ksuvas points out, but if Chazal said, we're making a Gzeira, and this is the reason, and they announced it right away, so that means, halacha l'maisa, they only want you to follow that reason. And if they announced it right away, that meant that they held that when the reason doesn't apply, so then the takana is no longer obtains. So the question is, now, do we say, so Shechter took a step further. But this, I think he took the shalel halacha l'maisa. Just as a shir, as a way of understanding it. When a takona the Chazal made looked bizarre and went against the previously held principle, So then Chazal had to explain themselves. Lo yitachen that Chazal should say a person is suffering. He's not kanavonik Shabbos. And we're going to say gezeira, schika, some of the every should suffer and not have any Shabbos. That they had to explain. They couldn't pass such a thing without explaining. So when it was muhr, they had to explain, so the explanation became part of the din. If it became part of the din, so then it might become a clause that is makel in the din as well. I believe that Rosh Hashanah does not say this halacha l'masa. Nevertheless, there are sometimes we'll find in Shuvas that Heyos of Avraham Chaim Noah. Avraham Chaim Noah thought that he said in his time there are people who are still making medications with Samabonim. So he didn't think there was reason to be Mekel. However, he certainly laid the groundwork that when there would be a time when people no longer make their own medications, that this would be a candidate for Bola Sibosa, Bola Tekanta. Avraham Chaim Noah is most famous for the Shiurim that disagree with the Chazanish. If you disagree with the right person, so then you can become projected, right? So you know, he was one of the Gedolei Yerushalayim in his own right. And the sefer that he wrote, the Bali Yerushalayim, the sefer that he wrote around the Ktzois HaShulchan, he wrote it around the Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch. He seems to have been very connected with Chabad. And we don't have the entirety on Shulchan Aruch, we have almost all of it on Aruch Chaim. And then a few other pieces and segments to it. So in that sefer, he has discusses Hilchos Shabbos at great length, and he raises the question that would we be living in a time when there's no Shechikas Samanim? He thought there might be room for Mekel. So again, he's not a position that we follow. But he said this is a position that is drawn in as another tzad l'tzarif. There is another, traveled kulas in this area when we are mako for a bori mechash bi'alma is if one kula is whether he can take it al yidei shinoi. Why is that? Because the Gemara in Eskutah B'Shulchan Aruch says that if a person has a certain eye problem, and the way to address the eye problem is to take a pad and soak it in medication, then put the pad on one's eye. So the Gemara says that if one soaks, prepares everything from Erev Shabbos, which is not the way that it was usually done, and if the pad was soaked from Erev Shabbos, then Chazal Mermeko and said that it is permissible with some kind of shinui. So how far do we take this particular kula? So there are those who say, well, as long as you have the medication with the shinui, you put the medication in applesauce, you put the medication in some kind of yogurt. So that is some kind, that's what the Avraham Chaim Noah writes. So you take it with shinui. Nevertheless, the both Rav Moshe and Rav Vozin disagreed. And they thought that we could not explain that every single shinui that we could think of would allow us to use medications on Shabbos. It has to be some kind of shinui, just like the way the Gemara describes, and that is that I prepared this salve on Erev Shabbos. Usually, one prepares the band of the salve right before Nisan. Here, he prepared it Erev Shabbos, and the Rav Moshe explains that there's a reason why that we should be makel in that case. Because in that particular case, the person comes into Shabbos well prepared with their medicine. So they won't lead to any kind of beholden kind of excitement, and they'll lose their sense and end up being chal Shabbos. Davka, they're preparing and putting it in place before Shabbos. So that kind of a shinui wouldn't be permissible. But other shinuyim, taking it in a different way, eating a different way, so that Rav Moshe was against applying that din too broadly. Then there's a very, very oft-quoted leniency, and that is if a person began taking the medicine before Shabbos. So once you began taking it before Shabbos, then you can continue taking it on Shabbos. Every so often I'll get a, not infrequently, a phone call on Erev Shabbos with some kind of question about medication because they want to start taking it before Shabbos because they've learned as long as they begin before, they can keep on taking it on Shabbos. Question is, where does this kula come from, and is it a well accepted and bona fide kula? So there is the Tzitzeliezer in Chelek Ches, where he has a lot of many medical tshuvas. He quotes a sefer from Shlomo Kluger, where Shlomo Kluger starts doing the research to figure out where does this come from, this kula. And he writes, Margula b'fuma dinshe loimar, the im kavar, if already began taking medication erev Shabbos, then they can continue taking it on Shabbos as well. Question is, and it sounds like from the the reason for this would be because just like the person who the Gemara says if a ritia band-aid falls off on Shabbos, then you're allowed to put it back on Shabbos. So wherever this idea came from, some say it comes from the Mincha Shabbos, which was a sefer that's written at probably in the earlier parts of the 20th century, that he was the one who apparently encouraged this distinction. So the he says that, but it's still unclear as to what this distinction is based on. Why we should make this distinction? So one possibility is that just like the Gemara says, if you prepare a salve erev Shabbos, see if a person began taking the medicine erev Shabbos, chances are that they began taking their began preparing it erev Shabbos. So maybe you should follow the same din as the eye salve. That's heavily dismissed because the eye salve was a case of shinui. So simply beginning taking erev Shabbos, that in of itself does not seem to satisfy the requirements of Chazal's Iser, and does not seem to satisfy the heter that the Mincha Shabbos describes. The one of the possible interpretations was that Rav Waldenberg suggests that if a medicine will not affect a cure on Shabbos, the point is not that it began taking it erev Shabbos. The point is that I'm on a protocol. And there is no point in time we're going to say, this protocol is going to work, I'm going to feel better. After the entire course, then I'm going to feel better. So since every single dosage does not make a person feel better, so therefore Chazal did not say this is the medication that they offered. This is not the kind of medication which is going to impact a person start thinking about how else they can get better. Taking medication, because that's their protocol every single day, they'll take the medication. So that could be a possible reason why if a person began taking erev Shabbos, then it means, it's not a blanket heter, that because it began erev Shabbos, I can take it through Shabbos. But it means that if it's the kind of medication that goes by in an unnoticeable fashion, so then, and what is the indication of that? The indication is that I'm taking it for a long period of time. So that's a medication that the Chazal never really answered. And the third interpretation that I remember Shachta quoting from the Oz Nidbru, one of the Gedolim of Bnei Brak, was that it's inconceivable that Chazal would say that a person simply cannot get better from a machla. It's inconceivable that the Chazal would say this person is doomed to have a cough for the rest of his life because it's a 14-day protocol. He has to do it on Shabbos. Without doing it on Shabbos, he'll never get better. So I think it was with Landau from Bnei Brak, the Oz Nidru, said that let's lo yitachin. Lo yitachin that a person should have in machlo that they can't, that medical science can address, and they're not going to address. So therefore, he said that's the basis for the heter of the. The Tzitzel either quotes this, he quotes it from a sefer called the Perush on Mishnayos, that and the author of the sefer called Sefer, that the author had been at one of the spas, and there in the spa, the way the spas often worked is that one would bathe in the spa and then drink the water of the spa. It's supposed to be good for one's digestive system. So the somebody asked the Mechaber of the Sefer, what's the din requiring saying a bracha on this kind of drink? So the the person responded that the reason that we don't make a bracha on in the spa water is that it doesn't make me better right now. Right, I'm not being. He said that one does make a bracha. Why? Because it's not a medicine right now. Right now, I'm getting some hanoah from it. Over a long period of time, so then I'm going to get some benefit and I'll feel better. So, this is when he thought that it could be the same thing is true that when it comes to refuah and Shabbos, so the fact that. I don't feel any different today, so that reduces the chance that I'm going to get caught up in my disease and end up being psychic someone. All right. So again, but in and of itself, Rav Moshe writes that he did not think this was a well sourced kula that. That one can follow easily. Question is, can one follow it with the tziruf of some other kulos? And then we should point out so we did Shinoi and we did Erev Shabbos. Oh. So now there's a question, can I take a medication whose purpose is entirely prophylactic, that it's there to protect me from getting ill? So I thought that is the Chazal or Mekel in that. The Mekel in a healthy person taking some protocol that'll be, that they will stay healthy. Shulchan Aruch talks about putting on a salve in order to make sure that. That nothing bad will happen to it. So since it's the protection in that kind of way, so therefore that would be mutter to put on something which would prevent it from getting infected or getting worse. Additionally, it would be mutter to have machal briyim, things that healthy people eat all the time, and only became us, and therefore they're not. They're not seen as medication, right? Anything which a healthy person would engage in, so it's muchach milsa that it's not being it's not muchach milsa that is being used for getting better. So that'd be mutter on Shabbos. So medication that's used prophylactically, I think, is mutter. A medication which doesn't look like a medication. Leads to a person's on a. He feels he's getting a cold, so he's on some kind of vitamin C protocol. So l'chayra, if it's having lots of grapefruits and oranges, nope. So that's he's doing a pateras refuah, but it's not really a refuah. That's nobody would notice and call it a refuah. They'd all call it that he's just he likes a lot of citrus fruits. So that should be mutter. Would he be allowed to take? Some kind of citrus fruit compound. So, I think also it would be. So then the. So that would be. I think that would be mutter. If a person is basically healthy and he's taking some kind of medication to make himself healthier, that's a wide-ranging machlokes haposkim. That's called the medication altogether, and that would be mutter.
Why would the compound be okay?
That machlokes. It could be machlokes. Yeah, let's say it's a let's take like vitamin D, for example. So any of these vitamins is machlokes haposkim as to whether it's considered to be medicine or not. So on one hand, the argument is machlokes remission and Shlomo Zalman. If I have a deficiency and I'm taking it in order to respond to the deficiency, so maybe that's called medicine. And if I have no deficiency, on the other hand, if I have a deficiency, then I would normally be able to make up that deficiency by having certain kinds of foods. So you could argue that the vitamins are just in place of food, right? So Shlomo Zalman looks at it and says, "Well, if I'm taking this because I really my vitamin D is in a good place, right? I'm taking it because I'm going to keep it in a good place." So he says, "Well, that's not taking it lirafua, right? Or my doctor put me on a vitamin C protocol because that's his thing. He just read about it. It's good for everybody. Why not do it, right?" So then that would not be refuah. Meaning there are a lot of people who do this, and I also am not doing it for refuah. However, if my bloods come back and they say, wow, I'm vitamin B12 deficient. All right? So then Rosh Shlomo Zalman says, that's medication. Right? I'm missing something. I'm putting it back. So that becomes no longer machlokes b'riyah, but for me it becomes becomes refuah. And Rav Moshe the other way around. Rav Moshe says that if I'm taking this vitamin C, I really should be taking oranges and grapefruits. So the vitamin C is mekoyim food. I should be getting my vitamin D from the, let's say, from the sun. But I don't have an outside job. But I live in the places. So then I'm taking it in place of some activities entirely mutter. See, that's not called medication. All right, it's very hard to define medication in certain areas. The general approach of poskim is that if it looks like medication, so let's say, for example, the medications that are in the field of, say, in the purpose of Viagra, is that called a medication? It looks like a medication, right? But let's say if it's the general natural decline of a person, a young man who's, and it could be refuah, it's a person who, at the stage of life where it's normal to require some kind of, if they want, some kind of medication. So, is that is that called medication or not? Is he really not missing something? He's at an age when this is the normal level of the tassin, normal level of these. So Lamaisa there, I think we can, don't, I believe that I was once told by a doctor that Rosh Hashanah said it was mutter, I believe so. But there is another way to address, and that is that the Minchas Yitzchak says. The Minchas Yitzchak says that one's allowed to take, that Litzorach Mitzvah, one is allowed to take this medication. What's the basis for that? He can't say that Stamaz Oinik Shabbos, because Chazal said no, that they're concerned about a person mitoch b'hola, even though, and therefore they limited his Anik Shabbos. But the Minchas Yitzchak says that he quotes a Ramban that whenever Chazal made a gzeira, so that has is we are excuse me we are more lenient with the gzeiras Chazal than we are with the shvus to shvus. Ramban says that a shvus to shvus, which is doing a melacha in a way that Chazal asered. It's a melacha hamuteris, but Chazal asered it. They asered it for two different dinim de rabbana. So a gezeira, so we are more lenient with the gezeira on Shabbos. So the so in this case, we would say that the mitzvah of ona since we're mekel and a shvuz zech mitzvah, we should be mekel and a gzeber mishum sechasvan and zech mitzvah. The mitzvah ona. So that's why we don't have to get involved in the broader issue of defining medication, because we can be mekel based on the minchas yitzchak. Yeah.
Does Moshe consistent on
I don't think so.
Meaning, even if they have non-kosher ingredients, you would say that they're medication in that case?
I don't know if he's a true in that. I don't know. I mean, Lania's deity, the way that you evaluate that is whether it is a refu beduka, right? Right, so there, I don't know if the two definitions have to be consistent. When it comes to kashrus, so then the din is that all these medications are nechila shel kedarka. Assuming there is an iser in it. So it's an iser, so an nechila shel kedarka is an iser drabanan. And Chazal were mekel an nechila shel kedarka l'tzerach refuah. Right? From the kashrus perspective, right? So, l'chor, when it comes to macholos asuros, the question is it a refu beduka or not? What about the fertility medications? So, are they mutter and shabbos? It would be very hard to function in any fertility treatment if they were not mutter and shabbos. So then, obviously, in itself, it's not a reason to be mekel. So, most recently, L'chorma, we should say it's mutter. Why should we say it's mutter? So this is a cheshbon that the Chelkas Yaakov makes, of Yaakov Breish. He says, Mimonoshach, if you will tell me that a woman who's having trouble having children is a choyla, so then this should come into the category of not being fully functional. That just like a person can say, they have to lie down, they can't go to work, they have to fall asleep. So if a person isn't able to have children, so then that means that they're more severely compromised physiologically, health-wise, than a person who they're more compromised than a person who's not following the Mishka. So therefore, she must take medication for the Shabbos. If me'idach, you're going to tell me, it's not really medication, it's not really a machla. A person can't have children, it's a terrible thing. But I wouldn't call it a chisaron, I wouldn't call it pathology. I would just say that, all right, that there's... So then, dealing with it is not refuah. If you call it, it's a zimimanov shach. If it's a choyli, so it's certainly a choyli as severe as what permits to have refuah. And if it's not a choyli, so then dealing with that refuah. So it's mimonoshach hashemim mutter to from the perspective of refuah. Usually, fertility treatments takes two different forms. One is oral medication, and the other is injections. And injections, but derech klal, there shouldn't be any issue with an injection. The only question injections are that if an injection is in the blood system, so then the general practice is to pull back on the syringe to make sure you're in the capillary, right? So when you do that, you have to draw blood. And there you're drawing blood litzerach. You're drawing blood because you want the blood. So it's a melacha shetzrich l'gufa, because you want to make sure you're in the right place. So that's kibim melacha de'raisa going to be poskim, yesh v'yesh. So in order to, when one is injecting something in the veins, one has to go very carefully and make sure that one is evaluated correctly. But if the injection is not in the veins and it's just subcutaneous or in fatty tissue or in a muscle, so then it doesn't necessarily bleed. So then it's a malacha. If it would bleed, we would have a miskave. Right, so injections, again, if it's intravenous, we would want it to be addressed a choleh mesukan. But if the injections that are given to women under fertility treatment are just subcutaneous. So there are other issues that come up, and that is that it's very hard to give the injection to oneself. and usually a woman will be a nida when the injections start. So there are several options. If the woman, the patient can ask somebody else to do it for them. Generally speaking, when it comes to ishtei nida and refuah, so the Shulchan Aruch says that it depends on what the other available options are. So in this situation, usually there are not other available options, because a woman does not want to disclose her difficulty with anybody. And even if she wants to disclose it, she doesn't want to disclose it right now. She's going through the treatment. She doesn't want all her neighbors wondering, is it working, is it not working? So usually the husband is the only person who's really available. And then I would suggest that one, the woman is well covered, because there's no need to misakal b'komis achusim. And one leaves open the area where the injection is going to be given. And usually an injection in this case is given by putting pressure with one hand and the syringe with the other. So the pressure would apply with through towels, through begotim, through melchim on boser. And I think that would be a satisfactory way to deal with it. On the other hand, a woman is...
I think so.
I think there's no... I'm not sure what would be yours. It's not the Geir Shechibu Benishuk. It's not Etzvah Ketana. So, and that's just, there's no... I don't see why what issue would come under.
Right? One thing... Pressure generated through a towel sufficient anyways
for the... Oh, so no one's come back to me and said it doesn't work, so...
Okay.
Probably gloves could work. There could be some chimon boser through gloves. It could be. But gloves probably would work, because it's... but there is another important issue, and that is that women have to always be tested when they're going through fertility treatments, because these treatments stimulate the ovaries. And if the ovaries, God forbid, get overstimulated, it's going to fascias. So women are always going in either every day, every second day. One of the aggravating things is that the systems always work it out that they need not go in on Sunday, but then they go in on Shabbos. So the labs work it out. So they work out that the day that they give off is Sunday. So obviously we would prefer if the day they give off was Shabbos and taking on Sunday, but again, it's something that I've not been able to be able to beat that system, because the doctors that are running the treatments and not running the labs necessarily. They're not in control. And it means an entirely administrative change. And one would not choose the fertility center based on the detail of which one is going to be open on Sunday. You have to choose based on their numbers of success. So Lamasa, I've never been able to beat that, and we have to work it out that a woman... with various, I guess, is either staying in the area of the fertility center so they can just walk in on Shabbos, or has to go with a cab on Shabbos. But it is a chayli mesukin to be on these medications and not to be evaluated. Okay, so with this, we'll switch over next time to Mir Lenachri.
I could be wrong, but this Pua sends visiting nurses to take the labs.
So I know they send them to do the injections.
Oh, so maybe that's another thing.
But I don't know if they send phlebotomists. I don't know. I haven't been checking it. But if even they can't get it done on Sunday, then...
Right.